Jill Anderson is a North Shore naturalist. She lives here in Cook County and joins us periodically to talk about phenology or what's going on in the woods right now. Welcome back, Jill.
Hiya.
Well, let's talk about what's going on in the ponds and in the ditches and stuff. We've talked a lot about different frog species, but let's talk about tads.
Okay, tadpoles. Oh, sure. The tadpoles have a really, many of them, a very intense lives. We think of our stressful lives. Well, there are some tadpoles out there that are probably under some pretty stressful conditions right now, and particularly in years that might be a little drier than this year. As I'm sure most everyone knows, the tadpole is that aquatic phase of the lives of our frogs. We've talked about all the beautiful songs and intense reproductive activities of frogs, and that in the first case results in egg laying, which, you know, maybe many people have seen the results of over the course of the summer now. And eventually, those eggs hatch. And when they hatch, they don't turn into full-fledged frogs. They turn into tadpoles. And tadpoles have to be in the water because they can't breathe, nor can they move around on land because they don't have legs. So they live in the water. They have tails. They are voracious eaters of plant material, small bits of leaves and algae. And they begin to really grow as soon as the water gets a little bit warmer than the water temperature of the eggs they were laid in. So temperature and the availability of food are the two things that get tadpoles growing. And if the temperature stays cool, then growth is slower. And if food supplies are low, it's slower. For frogs like mink frogs and green frogs and leopard frogs that typically eggs are laid later and the tadpoles come out later, they have the option of actually taking 2 years to grow into mature frogs. So their eggs are laid in more permanent types of wetlands. And so they can sometimes have to spend a couple of years to get to fully mature. But frogs like spring peepers and wood frogs, chorus frogs, they don't have that option. They have to make it to mature frog, a land living frog, in that first year. So if you are one of the sort of fine lines that these frog species are walking, is you want to lay your eggs where there aren't going to be a lot of predators of your eggs and tadpoles, but it also has to be a place that's where the water's going to warm up. And so they have to try lots of different experiments, basically, in picking their spots. And so temporary or vernal ponds are the typical places where most of these eggs are laid. And as soon as the eggs are laid and the water starts to warm up, the tadpoles come out and they start feeding. Well, at that same time, in many years, the ponds are shrinking because even if we're getting some precipitation, there's also more evaporation as the temperature warms up. And most vernal ponds and pools are seeping water away into the surrounding soil. Something is holding that water there, but not permanently. It's not something that, and they're going to probably dry up before the end of the summer. So there's this kind of race on, right, to get to the point where you can get out on the land before your pond dries up and the food runs out. In the most extreme cases where ponds are shrinking and shrinking and the food supply is getting smaller and smaller and the area is getting smaller and smaller, tadpoles, in order to survive, will turn to cannibalism. As they're growing up, they're becoming little nutritious packets that could ultimately be food for another tadpole. And because of the high protein content of another tadpole, if tadpoles have to turn to cannibalism where they're growing up, within 3 days of beginning to consume other tadpoles, they will be ready to go out onto the land. So this is kind of the last resort to save that year's group of frogs.
So they lose their tails and grow legs.
They do, yep. And the warmer the temperature and the better the nutrition, the faster that happens.
Yeah, well, in any case, cannibalism or not, it still happens pretty fast, doesn't it?
Well, for usually 2 months is what it takes.
Oh, really?
Yeah. It's not.
That's a long time to be in temporary water conditions.
It is. And in many cases, they're exposed to predators. Let's say you're a mink and your job every day is to find something to eat. And you happen on one of these temporary pools that's maybe shrunk down to pretty small by July. And it's full of tadpoles. Well, as a mink, you could clean up the entire generation from that particular pool. So that's why frogs are dispersed over the land. They use lots of different pools. They can't put all their eggs, so to speak, in one basket. They have to really have a lot of eggs, a lot of tadpoles, in order to get past all these obstacles to the next generation making it. In addition to larger predators like that, in some of our pools, especially those that are out along the shore of Lake Superior, where chorus frogs in particular sometimes lay their eggs, there are dragonfly nymphs are also predators on little tadpoles. And there's been some fascinating research done on chorus frog tadpoles in those pools that have shown that the tadpoles are actually able to change their shape, change their morphology, if there are dragonfly nymphs present in the pool. So the shape of a tadpole that's in a dragonfly nymphless pool will be different than that of one that's exposed to a dragonfly nymph. And this can happen within a matter of hours.
Well, they change themselves to look like what?
They change themselves to look more intimidating up front.
Their heads get broader. A threat to the dragonfly.
Yeah, and harder for the nymphs to latch onto. They can't really fight back in the sense of attack the nymphs, but apparently this gives them some selective advantage by building out their kind of upfront parts a little bit more. And no one had a clue that until just, 10 years or so ago, that there was this capacity for actual physical shape change by in just a matter of a few hours. If you put a nymph in the water, not in visual contact even, just the presence somewhere in the pool was enough to somehow for those tadpoles to know, oops, we've got trouble, we better bulk out here.
Pretty amazing bunch of creatures.
They are indeed.
Chell Anderson, botanist and plant ecologist, thanks for helping us understand tadpoles.
My pleasure.